Chapter 9. Spring. It seeped unseen into the waiting red earth in early March, softening the hard ground for the coming plow and awakening life that had lain gently sleeping through the cold winter. But by the end of March, it was evident everywhere. In the barn, where three new calves bellowed, and chicks the color of soft pale sunlight chirped. In the yard, where the wisteria and the English dogwood bushes readied themselves for their annual Easter bloom, and the fig tree budded, producing the forerunners of juicy brown fruit for which the boys and I would have to do battle with the fig-loving Jack. And in the smell of the earth itself, rain-drenched, fresh, vital, full of life, spring enveloped all of us. I was eager to be in the fields again, to feel the furrowed rows of damp, soft earth beneath my feet, eager to walk barefooted through the cool forest, hug the trees, and sit under their protective shadow. But although every living thing knew it was spring, Miss Crocker and the other teachers evidently didn't, for school lingered on indefinitely. In the last week of March, when Papa and Mr. Morrison began to plow the East Field, I volunteered to sacrifice school and help them. My offer was refused, and I trudged wearily to school for another week. "I guess I won't be seeing much of y'all after next Friday," said Jeremy one evening as we neared his forest trail. "Guess not," said Stacy. "Be nice if our schools ended at the same time." "You crazy?" I cried, remembering that Jefferson Davis didn't dismiss until mid-May. Jeremy stammered an apology. I just mean we could still see each other." He was silent a moment, then brightened. "Maybe I can come over and see y'all sometime." Stacy shook his head. "Don't think Papa would like that." "Well, I just thought," he shrugged, "it'll sure be lonely without y'all." "Lonely?" I asked. "With all them brothers and sisters you got?" Jeremy frowned. "The little ones, they're too young to play with. And the older ones, Lily and Jean and R.W. and Melvin, I guess I don't like them very much." "What you saying?" asked Stacy. "You can't not like your own sisters and brothers." "Well, I can understand that," I said soberly. "I sure don't like them." "But they're his kin. A fella's gotta like his own kin." Jeremy thought about that. "Well, Lillian Jean's all right, I guess. She ain't so persnickety since Cassie stopped being her friend." He smiled a secret smile to himself. "But that R.W. and Melvin, they ain't very nice. You ought to see how they treat T.J. He halted, looked up embarrassed, and was quiet. Stacy stopped. "How they treat him?" Jeremy stopped too. "I don't know," he said, as if he was sorry he had mentioned it. "They just don't do him right." "How?" asked Stacy. "Thought you didn't like him no more." "Well, I don't," replied Stacy defensively. "But I heard he was running round with R.W. and Melvin, and I wondered why. Them brothers of yours must be 18 or 19. Jeremy looked up at the sun, squinted, then glanced up his forest trail a few feet ahead. "They brung T.J. by the house a couple of times when Pa wasn't home. They treated him almost friendly-like, but when he left, they laughed and talked about him, called him names." He squinted again at the trail and said hurriedly, "I better go. See y'all tomorrow." "Mama, how come you suppose R.W. and Melvin putting in time with T.J.?" I asked as I measured out 2 heaping tablespoons of flour for the cornbread. Mama frowned down into the flour barrel. "Only 1 tablespoon, Cassie, and not so heaping."
"But, Mama, we always use 2.
"That barrel will have to last us until Papa goes back to the railroad. Now, put it back." As I returned 1 tablespoon of flour to the barrel, I again asked,
"What you think, Mama? How come them Sims is running round with T.J.?"
Mama measured out the baking powder and gave it to me. It was a teaspoon less than we had been using, but I didn't ask her about it. It was running low, too.
"I don't really know, Cassie," she said,
turning to the stove to stir milk into the butter beans. They may just want him around because it makes them feel good. When TJ's around me, he don't make me feel good. Well, you told me Jeremy said they were laughing at TJ behind his back. Some folks just like to keep other folks around to laugh at them, use them. I wonder how come TJ don't know they laughing at him. You suppose he's that dumb? TJ's not dumb, Cassie. He just wants attention, but he's going after it the wrong way. I was going to ask what use TJ could possibly be to anyone, but I was interrupted by Little Man running into the kitchen. Mama, he cried, Mr. Jameson just drove up. He had been in the barn cleaning the chicken coop with Christopher John, and stubby particles of straw still clung to his head. I grinned at his mussed appearance, but didn't have time to tease him before he was gone again. Mama looked at Big Ma, a question in her eyes, then followed Little Man outside. I decided that the cornbread could wait and dashed after them. Girl, get back in here and finish mixing this cornbread, ordered Big Ma. Yes, I said. I'll be right back. Before Big Ma could reach me, I was out the back door running across the yard to the drive. Mr. Jameson touched his hat as Mama approached. How you doing, Ms. Logan? He asked. Just fine, Mr. Jameson, Mama answered. And yourself? Fine, fine, he said absently. Is David here? He's over in the east field. Mama studied Mr. Jameson. Anything wrong? Oh, no, no, just wanted to speak to him. Little man, Mama said, turning, go get Papa. Oh, no, don't do that. I'll just walk on over there, if that's all right. I need the exercise. Mama nodded, and after he had spoken to me, Mr. Jameson crossed the yard to the field. Little man and I started to follow after him, but Mama called us back and returned us to our jobs. Mr. Jameson didn't stay long. A few minutes later, he emerged from the field alone, got into his car, and left. When supper was ready, I eagerly grabbed the iron bell before Christopher John or Little Man could claim it, and I ran onto the back porch to summon Papa, Mr. Morrison, and Stacy from the fields. As the three of them washed up on the back porch, Mama went to the end of the porch where Papa stood alone. What did Mr. Jameson want? She asked, her voice barely audible. Papa took the towel Mama handed him, but didn't reply immediately. I was just inside the kitchen, dipping out the butter beans. I moved closer to the window so that I could hear his answer. Don't keep anything from me, David. If there's trouble, I want to know. Papa looked down at her. Nothing to worry about, honey. Just seems that Thurston Wallace been in town talking about how he's not going to let a few smart colored folks ruin his business. Says he's going to put a stop to this shopping in Vicksburg. That's all. Mama sighed and stared out across the plowed field to the sloping pasture land. I'm feeling scared, David, she said. Papa put down the towel. Not yet, Mary. It's not time to be scared yet. They're just talking. Mama turned and faced him. And when they stop talking, then maybe it'll be time. But right now, pretty lady, he said, leading her by the hand toward the kitchen door, right now, I've got better things to think about. Quickly, I poured the rest of the butter beans into the bowl and hurried across the kitchen to the table. As Mama and Papa entered, I slid onto the bench beside Little Man and Christopher John. Papa beamed down at the table. Well, look a here, he exclaimed. Good old butter beans and cornbread. You better come on, Mr. Morrison. You too, son, he called. These women folks done gone and fixed us a feast.